Today, we're keeping tabs on what's happening with the coronavirus and looking ahead to what living with it for the long run really means.
The Omicron wave seems to have come and gone. Case numbers are down about 50% from 2 weeks ago, though the virus is still claiming some 2,400 lives in America every day.
Still, are those the right statistics to be tracking and to be basing our decisions on? In other words, are we asking the right questions?
Let's go now to an epidemiologist who has been warning about this kind of a moment since, well, 2005. Michael Osterholm directs the Center for Infectious Disease Research at the University of Minnesota. And welcome back.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
Now, last we spoke to you in December, we reflected on 800,000 COVID deaths in this country. 2 months on, we're at 900,000. Now, we could say that's one San Francisco, that's one Austin, Texas, but these are numbers, right? They can be numbing. What do we do with this number?
Well, first of all, we have to appreciate just the impact that COVID has had. And while we all want to move on from that horrible impact, I think the question is, what does the future look like? Will these numbers continue to grow? Will they continue to be a major challenge to our everyday lives? And I think that's the real challenge we have right now ourselves, is understanding that.
Yeah, well, speaking of moving forward or what we may see in the next few weeks or months, but a month ago you predicted an Omicron viral blizzard in this country. We've seen the numbers. Is the blizzard passing? I gather there are some numbers in South Africa and the UK that suggest not necessarily.
Yeah, well, what we're really talking about with that viral blizzard that I talked about in November has actually come and gone in most locations. And when I say come and gone, we're talking about new infections. I think we have to be very mindful of there are at least 10 to 15 states right now that are still seeing the major impact, what we call lagging indicators of those peaks, meaning that people are still hospitalized and unfortunately dying at a very increased rate yet. And that will continue for a few more weeks in these locations. But I think we will see a time in the next month where we will be very different than the peak of those surges. And I think the point that you raised, though, about South Africa and what's happening in the United Kingdom and countries like that is the fact that that peak doesn't come all the way back down to baseline, meaning it's not like it was before Omicron showed up. So, you know, for example, rather than seeing 300 to 500 cases a day in South Africa, they're still seeing 3,200 to 3,400 cases a day. Very different than 32,000 cases a day. But if that peak and that tail continue to go as it's going, we're still going to see a fair number of cases over the weeks ahead.
All right. Well, let's take a longer view of all this. I want to take us back to March 2020 for a moment. You spoke to Joe Rogan, the podcast host, and he finds himself in some misinformation hot water on vaccines these days. But it's worth going back to listen to what you said then.
This is going to be at least 10 to 15 times worse than the worst seasonal flu year we see.
10 to 15 times worse in terms of fatalities?
Yeah. And just illness. In fact, I brought some numbers. We conservatively estimate that this could require 48 million hospitalizations, 96 million cases actually occurring, over 480,000 deaths.
480,000. Now, at the time, Michael Osterholm, we couldn't conceive of that, and yet here we are. And I guess the question for you is, what do we not conceive of today that we should? What question are we not asking now that we should?
Well, we all want the pandemic to be over. All of us do. And I think the challenge we have is we don't know what the road forward really looks like yet. You know, a year ago right now, I was, by many put on that list of Dr. Doom, because I said that I thought the darkest days of the pandemic could still be ahead of us, knowing what was happening with the variants, Delta, the Alpha variant. I mean, these different variants we've seen have really changed how we have to look at this pandemic. And what we don't know is, will there be another Omicron-like variant that will emerge 3 months, 5 months from now? And knowing that in the meantime, people will basically come back to a new normal of where they'll feel like, thank God we're over this now. It's down. It's out. And the challenge we're going to have is being prepared again for another wave. I hope that doesn't happen, but hope is not a strategy. So I think what we have to do is continue to live our lives with this new normal as case numbers drop, relieving many of the social pressures to do masking or distancing and so forth, but at the same time, being aware that, you know, we could quickly see a very rapidly evolving new variant emerge that would take us back to where we were in December and early January.
I think that's why it's worth pointing out some news today. New Jersey's Governor Phil Murphy, he's a Democrat, he wants to drop the mask requirement in schools as he is considering how to bring New Jersey, you know, back to everyday life, living with the virus. Do you think that's a good idea? Is it time to let kids go mask-free at schools now?
Well, you know, for most of the country, the mandates have not meant that much in the sense that people just haven't complied anyway. And I think one of the things that public health has learned, if nothing else, is that messaging is so critical. And if the public in of itself doesn't trust it, believe it, or will comply with it, what have you done except create angst in the population? And so one of the things we have to do is take a step back and say, how can we or what should we do to have the public trust that what we're doing is in their best interest? And so I think that's going to be a big part of what we look at over the weeks and months ahead. The second thing is we have to at this time, while releasing ourselves from these stringent mandates and so forth, keep our eye on the ball, though, and say we have got to do more to understand how do we get people vaccinated. This still is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, as much as people don't want to hear that. While, yes, a number of people are getting infected among those who are fully vaccinated as breakthroughs, these are not the people largely ending up in our hospitals and dying from the virus. It's still largely unvaccinated people. So I think in this quiet period, when we don't see as much activity, now is the time to do that. How do we get drug therapies to people more efficiently? Testing. If you can't get tested in 4 or 5 days, you can't get a drug early on in your illness. We've got to work on things like that right now. And what I worry about is that we're going to all basically say, oh, my God, thankfully we're over this, and we'll move on. But some of us are going to have to stay very busy making sure, should that next peak occur, that we're much better prepared for it.
You know, to be honest, I can relate to that. My family is vaxxed and boosted, but in January, like so many other people, we all got Omicron, my kindergartner, my seventh grader, my wife, me. And yet now, having recovered, and it was very disruptive, but having recovered now, I feel more free than I have in 2 years, right? We avoided getting it for so long, and now it sort of feels over for us. And I know it's more complicated than that. I know the big picture is important to keep in mind, too, but I'm sure others can relate as well. What would you say?
Yes, and my reaction to what you just said is congratulations to you, because you were vaccinated. We're not talking about one of your family members dying or be seriously ill in a hospital for weeks to months. That's the message we have to get across. You know, these vaccines are not perfect, but they are really remarkable tools. And so, you know, the fact that none of your family was severely ill is a very, very important point. And I agree with you. You right now can feel a certain sense of freedom that you couldn't have felt a few months ago.
So for someone who has been vaxxed and boosted and recently infected with COVID, how good is the immunity? How much can we go back to living a quote-unquote normal life?
Well, first of all, you have to distinguish between, do you have underlying immune suppression conditions, et cetera? Because even there, we're finding that, you know, a fourth dose of vaccine is very helpful in reducing serious illness, but not a perfect prevention. And so these are individuals that are still going to have severe challenges in terms of what can I do every day and not worried about getting this infection that could be life-threatening for me. But for most people, such as yourself and your families, you will have a substantial amount of protection. And one of the things we're going to be learning over the course of the next months is how long does that protection last? And it's hopeful that with the combined issues of the doses, your previous infection, that you may have much more durable immunity going for months to potentially years ahead. Now, the one challenge we have in that, what if we have that new variant that now, just like Omicron, could not only be more infectious, but also evade immune protection of what we've already achieved? And I wish I could say that that's not something that we have to think about, but it is. And so, you know, again, this is a very, very humble moment. We have to be humble right now and say, this is what we know and this is what we don't know. And one of the things we don't know is, would that new variant challenge all of that immunity that you've acquired and that right now can make you feel really safe in your community? I wish I knew.
Well, we have about a minute left, Michael Osterholm. As we watch for a variant, what should we watch? For so long, we've been looking at these charts of case numbers. But as you and others have said, you know, this case number data is not always that helpful.
Yeah, the data that we see right now relative to case numbers is very incomplete for a whole lot of reasons. How many people really got tested, got cases reported? Health departments are lagging in their time to get cases mm-hmm. reported. Where we look closely is at hospitalizations and deaths. Those are lagging indicators, often 2 to 3 weeks okay. behind, but they are good measures.
Michael Osterholm directs the Center for Infectious Disease Research at the University of Minnesota. Thanks, as always, for your time.
Thank you.